So Joe, don't mess up, but no pressure. Yeah.
Right.
So guys, one thing I really want to stress is some of us may have, and we've talked about this, the imposter syndrome, where you believe, okay, am I good enough to be able to do this? Am I good enough to be able to teach that? And tonight we've got a real live example of one of you guys in the program who didn't, and Joe, 3 months ago, were you a sales page expert?
Never wrote one in my life.
Exactly. And no, vast majority of the world does not know even what a sales page is, or basically a trip wire, or a lead magnet, or an opt-in page, or squeeze page. All of these things are online terminology. And Joe, in the last couple of months, I mean, you've just been spending time going through this, learning more and more. And tonight isn't about some guy that has 5 years, 10 years experience and has made millions of dollars showing you how you can, because there's a big gap between where most of you all are at and being able to get to that point, to $10 million in sales, $5 million in sales. Instead, you have someone that's just a couple months ahead of you on one very particular skill that is very, very useful for getting people to take action, whether it's, homeopathic medicine, whether it's sushi, whether it is fitness, whether it's shooting, whatever you want to get somebody to do. If you can create an online sales page, which is mostly about emotion and getting people to take action. So, Trevor, have you ever heard the story about the guy that's got a dog on his porch and the dog's just howling? And you ever heard this story before?
No, I don't think so.
Yeah, so guy's sitting on his porch, visitor comes by, and the dog just every couple minutes just howls, just ow, ow. And the guy's just like, "What is wrong with your dog?" And he's like, "Well, he's sitting on a nail." And then the guy's like, "Well, why doesn't he just get up and move over?" He's like, "Well, I guess it's not that important. It's just, he just does, it's just not worth it. He's too damn lazy."
Yeah.
And the point is that most people are too damn lazy to make that change in their life. Like, we know what we need to get in better shape. It's simply eat better food, get rest, and go to the gym. I mean, it's really that simple. But most of us are like that dog. We're just not in enough discomfort. Our bodies work well enough that we're just not going to consistently go make that happen. And, so a sales page helps us get over that barrier, get over that problem, over that issue of getting people to actually spend money on a sushi course. Because Brian, you have an issue, and that is your stuff is nice to know, but who has a burning, I had a sinus headache the other day. I don't get them very often, but it's very painful, and it ruined my entire morning. And you want to find people with migraine headaches, and then you want to offer them the perfect migraine cure. And be very clear, because if you've got the cure, but you're not clear, or if you, and many of you guys I know have certain things that you can offer, you've got to be able to sell it. And so, even because the other alternative is they're not going to do anything. They're just going to sit with inaction and lay on that nail and howl once, complain, but they're not going to take action. They're not going to move. And so tonight's presentation is about, Joe showing you guys what he's learned in a very short amount of time, and what you can, one, that you can do this yourself and learn this skill. But the other one is that, hopefully, if nothing else, to teach you a little bit about sales pages. So, Joe, that is it. I'll let you take over.
All right, thank you. Thank you for having me on here, Antonio. You actually hit some key points there. You hit some really good stuff that I'm going to relate throughout my talk. It's about the emotion and addressing the pain. And actually, all this starts before you even get to the sales page. It starts from day one of your business. Why I say that is when you start doing your market research, all this begins, everything is going to funnel into, it's called the sales funnel, but your business is going to funnel into a single point of sale. And that's what's important, because that's where you're going to make your money. So you're going to start all the way at the beginning, from when you come up with the ideas, any emails you engage with your audience with, any surveys you put out, comments they put on forums or web pages, YouTube videos, whatever it is, you're going to collect all that information, and then you're going to use those things to give your audience what they need to make them emotionally charged to buy, because people buy off of emotion, and to solve the pain that's happening. And the reason why you would want a sales page is because that's the difference between, you want a good sales page, is that's the difference between a $5,000 launch day and a $50,000 launch day, or a $50,000 launch day and $100,000. So it makes the money, it makes a difference in the amount of money that you make. And if you're here to make start a business, then it is about making a profit, making sales. So as I said, you know, the funnel, you're going to funnel to a sales point. Now, your blog, your About Us, all these different things, everything about your website, there's a thing called direct response marketing. And direct response marketing, the whole idea is to talk about, give specific content, talk about a specific purpose, to solve a specific pain, to drive them to a specific emotional reaction that gets them to do a specific action, which is buy from you. It's just a click, or opt into your email, or whatever it is. But you want them to do one thing. And you're going to funnel all that in. So your blog content, when you have a true direct response marketing site, your blog, your About Us, everything is focusing on getting to that sales page. And that's what I'm going to concentrate on today, because it's going to be simpler. And that's one of the most easiest ways to get it done. I want you thinking in that direction as you go through your business. So on your blog content, you're going to give general information, and you're going to get more and more specific as you get closer and closer to that buy button. And you're going to start relieving their pain and reversing risks and all that once you get down to that point where they have to decide, that point of contact. So once you've collected all that information, you've done your blogs, you've done webinars, you've hyped it all up, and you get them to the sales page, that sales page is essentially just a highlight reel of everything you've done. You're going to address their pains again. You're going to tell them why yours is the only option. You're going to invoke emotions in them that they didn't know they had. You're going to show them problems that they didn't know they had. And then you're going to make them feel like you're their savior. And that's what's going to get them to buy, or click the buy buttons, or join my membership sites, create an account, whatever your action is. As we said, people buy emotionally. And how you get into that emotion is you got to empathize with them. You've got to relate to what, you know, they want to, people like to react with the person. They want, when they call up a customer service line, they're calling because they want to talk to a person, not to a recording or anything like that. People do businesses with people. Businesses are relationships. Relationships are people. That's why businesses are people. And so, and these guys have pains. They've got these things that they want to get solved. And your job is to enter that conversation with relevant content or with a relevant means. And enter that conversation that's already gone in there, going on in their head, and show them the light at the end of the tunnel. So have that in mind as you're collecting all this stuff, and you're innovating and creating for your business, and you're doing your sales page. Remember, you want to have them feel emotionally attached to what's going on. Make them cry. Punch them in the gut. Do whatever you have to do. Probably the most important aspect of all that sets the tempo and the criteria of the sales page, that if you're going to do anything else, it's got to be the headline. There's 100% of your time on the sales page, but 80 to 90% into your headline. It is the number one item. Previously, I actually had a formula up here I wanted to show you, and I had an exercise for you guys to do at the end, but I don't want to give you guys too much at one time. We can do that later. I've got this whole other slideshow that I did for you, and I'm going to bring that to you. I'll share it with the group later, but it definitely will help you, and you'll understand how all of this ties in through that. But remember that your headline is the number one item you want to do, because if they look at the headline and they're not enthralled right away, and it doesn't punch them in the gut and make them read the next step, then you've lost them. People, by the time they get to your sales page, they want to be sold. You just need to give them an excuse or a reason to pull out their wallet. So they have the power of the money, they control the money, but you actually, all you've got to do is just validate their purchase, so they can explain it to their wife or whoever. You know, they can, in their mind, validate why they just spent $2,000 for your product. And we're going to do this through empathy and building relationships. Like I said before, businesses are relationships. Relationships are people, and that way, businesses are people. And if you don't know what empathy is like being able to see things through the eyes of someone else, feel what they feel. You're going to talk about the next step after your headline. Usually, you talk about the pain. What pain is going on? What is their major pain? What is their one problem that they want to solve, and you're going to tell them a story. You can approach it several different ways. You can just, I've been there, I've done those things, you know, I know what it's like to have to struggle in the gym and try and get that six pack, and I can. I know what it's like to lose patients too, because I know Mary's doing the medical, I'm trying to do the cash for practice, how it is to lose patients to the insurance claims and all that, and I want to do cash, and then you see, they can misery brings people together. That's why basic training, they put you through hell, but they put you through hell as a group, is because it bonds you and binds you. Nothing brings you closer together than a tragedy. And so you want to empathize with them and show them that you're on their team and that they're not alone. And then after you do all those things, you're going to go ahead and agitate it. You're going to show them a problem that they didn't know they had. And if you can show them a problem they didn't know they had, people will automatically assume that you've got the answer. You're it. And then you agitate that problem, you know, show them like why it's such a pain in their ass. And then show them that every other option is irrelevant, that you are the best choice, and validate all those other steps. But yours. Yours is the number one go-to. Once you validate and they're on board with you, you actually want to take them to the point of sale. I actually think, no, I did spell point right. Okay. And at that point of sale, that's where we're getting back down to that buy button. This is probably the second most important thing on your sales page, because this is where they actually make the decision, they decide. You want to make that as easy and as brainless for them as possible. Make it a no-brainer, and we're going to talk about making it a no-brainer in a little bit, so keep that in mind. But the point of sale, you're going to reverse the risks. You're going to give them guarantees, make them feel comfortable, show them that there is an exit strategy. The decisions we make in life are based off of our past experiences. So let's say I joined another business coaching company, and I've never made money before. And this actually, you know, it was the case for me for another company. And I, you know, you might like them and everything, but when you're trying to make money, what they didn't make you, but you spent $2,000, $3,000, however much money on this program, and you didn't make any money, and that's what you were hoping to start a business with these guys. The next time somebody comes along and says, "Hey, I'm going to show you how to make money on the internet," you're going to be a little bit hesitant. Why should I listen to you? And so that's what you got to consider, that when you're doing this point of sale, you got to show them that there's an exit strategy. That's where those like 30-day lifetime guarantees, all those other things come in. I'm going to give you one-on-one. You know, if you're having trouble starting it, my team's going to come in and we're going to start it. I'm going to reverse all risk, so all you've got to do is just show up. I'm going to make this easy for you. The only thing you have to do right now is you move your index finger and click that button on, put it in the basket. You're going to have, there's three types of audiences that are coming to your sales page, and these are the kind of people you have to think in mind, you have in mind when you're building your sales page. You're phoning these guys in, so they've come to your website. They've gone through all the steps. They've been all over your page. They've been following your podcasts and your content and all this stuff, and they're on board. They're a fan, you know. And the fans are going to be probably the easiest ones to sell to, and the fans are the best because they're going to do the word of mouth, and they're your best marketing for you. And you want to get at least 100 fans to have a legitimate, you know, fans that buy to have a legitimate business, and you can build off of that because then you can ask them questions and develop. And so some of those fans are going to be those people that are ready to buy now. As soon as they get to your sales page, they're like, "Yeah, let's just do this. You know, you've got me. Then you've got the skimmers. And the skimmers are those who will come along, and they're just going to read the highlighted stuff and the bullet points. So you don't want to make this long text-heavy sales page where it's just you writing this journal or diary. You want to create visual breaks for the eyes. You want to set the tempo with your words. And there's all kinds of different... It's like a talking paper. If you remember doing talking papers in the military or in college or whatnot, it's kind of the same thing. You want to persuade people. There's persuasive paper or persuasive content, but it's for a reader. You're not talking to them, so they can't hear your inflections. So you do those inflections through those visual cues, and you're kind of catering to the skimmer there. That's why bullet points, bold fonts, certain things that you really want to highlight are going to stand out. And you're going to make it like 18 size font for just one statement. And so that's for the skimmers, or that's for people who are like really reading everything, which is the next level, which I don't know what the real name for it is. I call it the lurker. And the lurker is going to be the guy who reads everything that you wrote down. They want to know everything. They're going to analyze you. They're not quite sure, or maybe they just kind of information types. And so they're going to absorb all that you have. So the most important thing is the headline. Second most important is the point of sale, the buy button. And then everything in between is to fill those gaps in and cater to those three different types of people that come to your website. When you're writing your content, before you start, and this is actually going to help you from the very beginning of your business. That's why we write everything down. That's why we keep records. We chronicle everything that we're doing because we don't know when we're going to use it again. And your sales page is actually going to help you in the long run develop your product and develop your brand, because you're going to ask yourself questions. You have to ask yourself questions and do it as a pessimist. And ask questions that are really hard and really rough on you, like, why should I buy from you? So what? What is it that you have that nobody else has? And if you can answer those things, answer them clearly, and you give yourself goosebumps, and you say, yes, this is clear, this is simple, this is a no-brainer, you've got something. And if it's not, maybe before you start selling things, you need to go back and make it badass. Make it amazing. And that way, that's going to put you above everybody else, because there's always somebody out there who's been doing it longer and all these things. You know, we're all three of us, all however many people in the group right now, all of us, anybody that listens to this, most likely you're brand new to this, and you've got somebody that's already done this ahead of you. But to put yourself ahead of them, just like in the military, you've got to find that unique advantage. So when you ask yourself those tough questions, don't be discouraged. You're just using it to make yourself better and to make yourself the number one guy to go to. And I say guy because it's a regional thing for me. I'm sorry. I don't mean to discriminate against anybody, but we say guys in New England. Okay. So make an easy decision and make the action that you want them to do a single call to action. So just do a click. And studies have shown that through you go to lead pages and they talk about it, and all these marketers, they've shown that if you actually click, if you give them the option to click on the button, they're going to pick that over putting their email in and clicking on the button, because picking your finger up and moving your hand over to the keyboard is considered a pain. That's considered a burden. Somebody, in that fraction of a second, somebody might decide, nah, it's not worth it. So you click on that button. If they've already clicked on that button, they've kind of started saying yes. And they've been saying yes all along with you, and that's just another one of those yes things, like, yes, this guy sympathizes with me. Yes, I need answers to this pain. Yes, I felt this way. Yes, this does make sense. And then that last yes is, yes, I want to buy from you. Or, yes, take me to the next step. And then that next screen, that's where you're going to start asking for their information. You don't necessarily need to do that on your sales page or in your opt-in, because, you know, and there's empirical evidence that proves that that's how that works. This isn't like some sort of theory thing or philosophical thing that somebody's brought up. You know. And Timony, do you have anything for anything to piggyback on that, or am I good to go? Good?
No, I think you're doing great, Joe. Let me ask Trevor, do you have any questions? Brian, JP?
I have one, Joe. So, you know, in my like own research, the only two places outside of interviewing someone to really like identify those burning pains and like desires that you're gonna like, you know, appeal to their emotional side with, have been like Quora and like Reddit. What other ones are out there that you can really like figure out what people are saying about a specific topic and identify those like emotions?
Okay. So what's your niche? What's your arena?
I'm not really sure yet. It's like a personal development type of... Honestly, I'm just researching.
I can roll it back. I can roll with personal development. That's fine.
Okay.
Because it doesn't matter what it is. I just wanted to make it relatable so you can actually go directly there.
Okay.
All right. So you want to, like I said, you want to enter that conversation that's going on in their head. And most likely, these people have already gone onto the internet and looked up this stuff. They're already inside forums. If you're a car guy, you're going to car forums. If you're a fitness guy, you're going to bodybuilder.com or whatever. You're leaving comments. You're watching YouTube videos. So let's say you're doing fitness, you're doing personal development, and you're going, you go to Anthony Robbins' website, or maybe his Twitter feed. You follow him on Twitter, and you see what they're saying. You go to his website, and if you leave, some websites will show the comments that people make, and they'll put comments up to talk about it. You can go in there and see what they're saying. and how you build credibility with them and start kind of, I don't want to say it's pirating their audience. You're not really pirating it. You're just kind of, you're helping out. You're giving value. Is to leave relevant comment. You're not going to backlink to your site. You're not going to talk about that. You're just going to solve that question that person had. Just go ahead and throw it in there. And then after, if you do that enough times, people are going to be like, you know, who is this guy? Why is he so smart? And then you can kind of slowly work your angle in there. You're building that relationship with them. So go to whoever is a powerhouse in your company, or I'm sorry, in your niche, whoever the leaders are, start going to their websites, following them on social media, YouTube, Twitter, Facebook. I'm trying to think of some other forms you can do. Oh, get out of your house. Don't just sit in front of the computer. So if you're self-help and you want to help people, and I know there's somebody in the group that wants to help veterans who are going through some mental disorders or whatever, go to Wounded Warriors or the Fisher House, or if you can still get on base, go to On Base and go to the BX and just listen to how, what people are talking about. And then you can kind of enter that conversation, but you've got to be relevant when you engage with them.
Okay.
Yeah. Amazon comments or as well, Trevor.
Yeah.
Yep. Mm.
Yeah, and to see if your niche, to validate your niche and that you're on the right track, go, you can actually use Amazon and you type in, like, go to their books section and type in your topic. Type in whatever, like, your project, your program is going to be. And if people are writing books on that, then you know that there are buyers out there. Don't worry about if there's, you know, already, like, 10, 20 books that are on there. You want to know that there's already people buying that stuff and there's a market for it. If you put it in Google, and sometimes Google will have ads that will pop up on the right-hand side or above the blogs, that also tells you that people are buying and that there is a need for whatever it is you're trying to do. If there isn't, if you go into Google and you type that in and there are no ads, you might want to question it. It doesn't mean you can't do it. You just might be the first. So, you know, don't be discouraged by that, but that's kind of a red flag. So your sales page, you know, you've got the business, you want to make money. I'm going to close this up so we can get on to the actual Q&A. But your sales page, you want it to be powerful. You want to pull these people in with the emotion, and you're having that one-on-one conversation with them, and it's got to be purposeful. You've got to have a reason behind it. It's got to be an intrinsic value that they're going to get out of it, and you are emotionally attached to it. If you're going to hire somebody else to do your sales page for you, give them as much of the information as you can because you're the expert and they don't know and they don't have as much interest in your business as you do. That's why it's so important that even if you're not going to write your own sales page, to know what to look for and how to do it so that way some guy's not ripping you off or you're not wasting $500 on something and you can actually get the best people. Because if, like me as a copywriter, if you don't have your stuff together and you come to me saying, I need a sales page, I'm going to be like, that's too much work for me to do all the research and write it. So and that's why you need to understand the power of the why and how of a sales page. I've got a next slide, which is for questions. If anybody's got any more, we can hit those up.
Yeah, I've got one. So what should you look for in a program that you want to purchase, like perhaps on a monthly or an annual subscription to make sales pages? I mean, like what key points are you looking for specifically? Like, should I choose lead pages or opt-in scan or opt-in monster, or should I outsource it? You know, what are the kind of the highlights you want to look for in that?
You mean outsource it as in, like, hire a virtual assistant or just, you know, like on Fiverr or Elance or something, right?
Yeah.
Just do it for you. Okay. Well, if it's not your specialty, then, and you can afford it, then do it. I mean, I'd suggest maybe your first couple just trying it out and writing your own, and you can do that in a Google Doc. And then you can throw that up on a blog, and there's plugins, like, because I think just about everybody's using WordPress nowadays. But there's plugins where you can kind of create your own sales page in those platforms. I'm better trained on Optimized Press. It's a drag and drop, just kind of like WordPress. And I'm looking for usability. You know, it's the content that's powerful. And then once you've written it out, like in a Word doc, you can transfer it over into that software. You can kind of copy and paste it into the, if you're using Optimized Press, lead pages, and then work on the aesthetics of it. But I'm looking for what makes it easy for me and what makes it transferable onto websites and everything. Antonio, I think you've done more of the aesthetic side of it and using the softwares than I have. Can you?
Well, you know, the aesthetics, they do affect conversions. But when it comes down to it, I mean, Well, you gotta say, hey, can I get something up there? I mean, Joe, what did we do? It was we took you out of the software because you were spending too much time on those little details, all that other stuff. You were focused on that 20%, which or on the 80%, which is only going to yield you that 20% return instead of the headline. Just simply put together a video, you talking to the camera, looking right at them eye to eye. Hey, I've got the solution. With my style system, I just put up another, I put up a good sales video, but I didn't have time to do some of the other stuff. And yes, I know I left some money on the table, but my focus was elsewhere on other projects. And you can still get, you can grab so much. And, you know, the right customer, the one that's really ready to buy, they'll watch that video, even if it's not their preferred method. But really try to get away from getting caught up in those tech details. I personally enjoy, Optimized Press 2? That's my favorite. Lead Pages is good, though, for simplicity and getting something going, and they have their own measurement devices. So there isn't a right or wrong path to go there, but there's more of like choosing your poison because none of them, in my opinion, are super, super easy to deal with.
There's a lot of things in Optimized Press that I wish. Actually, and what happens is I love it when things like that happen because trying to be a copywriter and being an entrepreneur, I'm like, I could make this better. All these things that I want to do, I want to be able to customize this, which I can't do. I want this unique feature. I want this to be tracked, but not this. I want these words to be highlighted, but I can't do that, you know, the way I want it to be done. So maybe in the future, I can go ahead and create that and have another product that actually directly ties into what's going on. Also, too, before I forget, I want to throw this out there before I forget. And we talked about being specific. It's really important to be specific. Don't be general and don't try to accommodate everybody. We're talking about mostly about direct response marketing today. Direct response marketing is great for, this is who it's for and why it's right for you guys. It's because direct response marketing is very specific. It's small. It's very low cost, if not free, if you do it, I mean, depending on how you go about it. And it's about establishing a relationship and establishing a fan base and a customer base. Don't get it confused with mass media or mass marketing. Mass marketing is highly expensive. It's very general in nature. So don't try to, and they try to reach everybody with direct response marketing. You're talking to that one person, that ideal client. We call it an avatar because you're going to give them a name. You're going to give them a face. That's how specific you're going to get with this person. Maybe we can get into avatars later at another time. But you want to have that one-on-one conversation. Like right now as I'm talking to Trevor because I can see his picture. And this is who I'm talking to right now. We're at a bar right now. We're at a cafe. And that's the conversation you're having on your sales page and on your blogs and whatever else. These people feel like, oh, he's talking to me. We're mass media. You look at TV, and it's like, drink this beer, and hot women will want to have sex with you. You know, they only talk about, like, generalities and what it does for you. And it's like they're trying to reach everybody. Well, what if I don't drink beer? But they're going out there, and they're just pretty much throwing birdshot out into the wind and hoping that something comes back. Sir, that's any other questions from anyone?
Can you talk? Let's talk about sushi and how would you get people emotionally charged about sushi?
Oh, that's a good one.
That is the question.
Yeah. Okay.
Well, Brian, what do you think? I mean, or anyone else, Trevor? How are you? I mean, I think we've already talked a little bit about, you know, one of the things is how do you tell good sushi from bad sushi? We kind of covered that, I think, a little bit before. But, you know, is that enough to get you to buy something?
Well, I don't know if I can help much with that. I think the Brian sent me a thing, and I think the better one is to eat sushi on a shoestring because sushi eaters like sushi, and they're going to go buy sushi. But it's just the level of how many times can they eat sushi in a week without getting ridiculous. So I think for me personally, if someone could teach me how to buy sushi almost every night as like a chunk of my food, you know, like as a big chunk of my diet, that'd be awesome. Because I look at guys like George St. Pierre, the fighter, and I mean, that guy eats sushi every day and he's a machine. You know, like if you Google his diet, his dietitian feeds him like tuna sashimi twice a day, and he goes out and just destroys people. So I get fired up about it. But what the heck else? No, I think
So who is this guy? I don't know who he is. Is he, he's a fighter?
He's a fighter, yeah.
Yeah, he's a UFC fighter.
So imagine how to use a sushi diet for fighters. You know, yeah. Fighting sushi. I don't know. You know, it's like
I want to highlight something before we carry on with this. You guys kept saying it. Trevor, you kept saying it. Antonio, you said it a few times. How to. And that is a very powerful starter sentence for when you're writing something. People love the how-tos. They love bullet statements. They also, if you look at the headlines on things, you'll see a lot of seven ways or, you know, they quantify their blog articles and stuff. People love the how-tos because you're giving them an answer. You're walking them through. You're pretty much giving them a free lesson. So you kept saying, how do I buy sushi? How to do it on a shoestring budget? If you guys can see my screen right now, this was the slides from my other presentation that I had that I copped out of because I thought it was too text heavy. Under the exercise, you see it says here how to. So when I walk you through the formula for a headline, one of them is to use a surprising ending. You know, tell them what they're going to get at the end, like what it is that's going to save them. Quantify the solution. You can use like money or time, like what are you saving them? What are they getting out of it? Or you can identify threats or the dangers that are in there, you know, invoke some of that emotion. And then you address any objections that they would have that would make them second guess or turn away from what you've got. Like, I don't want to be burned again. Remember when I talked about those objections where our past experiences help shape our decisions. And so that's where you would, at the end of your headline, address that. Those objections. And this headline, again, like I said, is going to be, it's going to highlight the rest of your sales page. It's summed up into one sentence. So if you look at the bottom, what I wanted to do with you guys originally was, and we can actually do this if you want, but it was do an exercise with you after I explained that so you can see and feel what it's like to create a killer headline. So let's use that sushi one, for example, and we'll figure out how we can attract more sushi from more customers into a sushi business. So right now, if you got pen and paper, go ahead and write, fill in those blanks that I have, how to, and then add a surprising result. In, and then pick however many days you can do it, in 30 days, in a week, by dinner time. So just put a time in there, or you can put a money. And then your next fixed statement will be that will or without. And then address the objections. And you can kind of see when I start talking about addressing the objections, it's that really hits home why you need to understand your audience and why from day one of starting your business, of coming up with that idea, you need to record and track and really know your audience before you even get to the sales page. What objections are going to turn them away from wanting to buy on that? So instead of me answering this, let's see what you guys came up with. Did you guys do the exercise?
Yeah.
Okay.
I have how to shit 10 pounds in 30 days by eating sushi 5 times a week.
Boom, there you go.
Nice. I put how to make sushi like a pro in 7 days without going to culinary school.
Awesome, see?
That's a badass one.
Right? So, I mean, we've been on here for, you know, we've been talking about the headline thing for a few minutes, and you've already got the starting of your sales page, which is also going to guide and direct the rest of your business. So you should be feeling good. I got goosebumps right now. You should be feeling motivated about going out there and tying all that in. How is the rest of your business going to funnel into that sales page? And that sales page is kind of like your guideline. It's an outline. It's that highlight reel. So we're going to drive more traffic to your sushi site because your whole objective is to create this sales page and create a badass one using that headline. And, of course, with that headline, you know, the next step you're going to do is you're going to declare the problem. And that's what I was talking about, getting that emotions, those empathies, and you've done your research so you know what they want. And if you can identify a pain that they didn't even realize they had, you know, okay, I want to lose weight eating sushi. Well, what's another pain? But it's expensive. You know, how can I do this at home? How can I do this without leaving the house? It's no, you know, whatever those pains are, that they didn't even know that we're a part of sushi. I can't get what kind of fish do I buy? I don't even know what kind of fish makes good quality sushi, so that might be a whole other angle that they didn't know. And now they're like, I didn't think about the quality of the fish. All I thought about was how to make the rice taste right. You know, what kind of rice seasoning to put in or, you know, whatever.
Hey, Brian, if you need to, like, have a commitment to buy to, like, build it, you have one for the one you said. I'll buy that in a heartbeat. My wife grew up in Japan, and she eats sushi, like, we eat cheeseburgers and fries. It's, like, her staple go-to, and that's tough.
Yeah, all right. Definitely.
I just spent $25 last night on sushi, and I'd like to do that every day, but I can't. If I could make it myself, that would be awesome.
$25, man, that would be amazing to spend $25 on sushi. In Alaska, you're not leaving the place like in under $50 for sushi.
And think how badass your parties would be if you were there making sushi like a little Asian guy just knocking it out.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah, I actually used to have what I called sushi socials where people would come and they would pay $5, and I would basically just host a party and make sushi, and people would bring alcohol, and then I'd feed them, and I could actually feed 7 people, about 3 rolls apiece, and maybe an order of nigiri each person for about $35.
Wow. So
7 people, $35. It's not hard to do. It's just,
With your headline that you said that you gave us, mixed with what you just said, if you could record that but put music over it as opposed to the sound, that kind of would look like a commercial, right? You know, it's one of them like social party things. People are like, oh, it's social engagement. I'll have friends, you know? And so on your sales page, you don't just have to have words. You can put pictures in there. You can put videos. If you look at High Speed Elite or Real Men, Real Style, Antonio uses these videos. And those videos, you know, sometimes people just don't want to read. They're not into reading. Like, I'd rather sit here, drink a beer and whatever, and watch a video than read text. And you don't need to, you know, don't make your whole sales page necessarily a video. But go ahead and put one that's relevant to it, you know. So here we go. We already got the sushi thing going on. Now we got to work on Trevor.
Great feedback.
Yeah, absolutely, man.
All right. Well, was there anyone else that wanted to talk about sales pages or any other questions out there? Let me see who is still out there. Let's see. All right. Mike, haven't heard from you at all, man. You out there?
Hey, I just got here. My kid's volleyball game just ended, so I'm back in the house.
All right.
I love what I'm hearing here, but again, for me as a podcaster working with PTSD and stuff, I'm trying to figure out, you know, what kind of solution I'm looking for sales. And I'm going to learn that more as I hear from my audience, but we're still getting the podcast off the ground.
Well, that's definitely a hard one. And it's something that, you know, building up that audience, and we've talked about, you know, who are you trying to get in front of and what are you trying to sell? I mean, when it comes down to it, you're trying to sell them on, you know, are you going to spend 30 minutes? So maybe for you, what's going to be your tagline at the front of your podcast? Because you've only got, you know, really one shot. You've got to impress them at the beginning. So with your power, what's going to be your power sales intro in your podcast?
You know, that's something I'm still working. I was thinking about that last night. I was on a trip. And I was thinking about the whole fact that, you know, what is it they're going to get from me? And again, I'm looking at, you know, we're going to give them information, going to give them humor. I'm trying to do my first podcast here of telling about me. But really what I want to be able to do is give them someone that they can talk to. You know, it's kind of like I talked about it earlier.
Yeah.
It's private because it's one-on-one. But there's this community. I've got to figure out the right words for that. But what I want to do again is start off with the guys, and then we'll probably kick off another subset of the podcast for the spouses for their issues. But I'm thinking down the road, if I'm able to establish a relationship with them, get them over a hump where they say, hey, all right, hey, I can continue from here. Maybe that's a point where I can give them, you know, give them some options in terms of affiliates or coaching, this kind of stuff, to get, you know, right now the biggest pain in my butt is this PTSD. If I can give them a new way to look at it, a new way to say I'm going to get through today, where they can look on something else besides PTSD, that's when I may have another solution to say, hey, we've got that. Here's some other things you may want to think about, but I want to do it very soft sell because, you know, the whole idea is to help them and have them start asking me what it is. Once I get them and they trust me, then hopefully they're going to say, hey, this other problems that I have, and that would give me a direction to be able to monetize perhaps in terms of sales.
So I'm sorry. Antonio, I didn't mean to interrupt you there. I looked like you were getting ready to talk, but okay.
Yep.
Actually, I got something that I think is going to help you guys. Antonio, stop me if you think I'm missing the mark on this. But here's a couple of things you can do, because it sounds to me just about everybody that I've talked to so far through the Facebook group on the webcam, like Trevor, you said you don't know what you want to do. It's about an identity crisis. And what I heard from you, Mike, was that you're not quite sure who you are yet, what image you're going to put out, and all those things. So you need to have, remember in the military we had core values. What are your core values? What is your company's core values? If you create, in the Air Force, your core value, they tell you what your core values are in the military, and you're going to live that. And that's what you do. And you base your whole, every decision you make, because your job is to make money for the Army, the Air Force, the Marine Corps. And in the Air Force, it's service before excellence, integrity first, service before self, excellence in all you do. And so you need to have you need to decide what your core values are going to be, and that's going to help you make your decisions. To caveat on that, let's go take it a step further and niche it down a little bit. You need to have a single motivating purpose. You're going to spend 80%, and you can't avoid doing things you don't want to do, but you've got to spend 80% of the time doing what makes you feel fulfilled and what you love to do and where you want to go with it to create that authentic voice that's going to create those relationships. And so your single motivating purpose is going to look like this. It's going to say, I wake up every morning to, and then that's kind of where your core values come in. So like my personal one, the one that I have is, I wake up every morning, what excites me, what gets me out of bed, what makes me eager to ready to start my day and just get pumping no matter what's going on in the world. I know something's going to suck, but it doesn't matter because I'm going to feed my brain with my single motivating purpose. I wake up every morning to solve problems, enrich lives, and protect. And that's it. And then once you get those three down, and you know what that is, then the rest of it's going to start falling into place because you now have a purpose and you're going to satisfy those things. And if it doesn't satisfy one of those three things, don't worry about it. Don't move on. And that's going to help you find that voice and find the direction that you want to go.
Solid. Okay.
Thanks. Yeah.
I don't know, like, if this is the right time, but I have, like, if you guys have a minute to just, like, hear what an idea I had, like, tear it down or tell me what you think off the cuff. I don't know if is this the right time or form?
Sure, go for it, Trevor.
Okay, so my thing is, like, personal development, and I'm all about, like, anything I do, I always look for an unconventional way to, like, come out on top. So I just bought a house, and the houses that I've bought, I've never bought a new house because there's no equity in it. Well, this time I found a house that's new and has lots of equity, and people overlooked it, and it was like a great experience. But that's kind of like how I am as a person. I always look for like a better, more efficient way. But when I kind of got down to my core values, like you said, the thing I really like to do is to help people get to that next level and like share that information and that like achievement. And the biggest thing that I think, if I could help people get to a higher level, is just to like get more out of a book. Like, we recommend books left and right, and we all read books, but I mean, if I knew and could apply everything I ever read in a book, I feel like, man, I would be unstoppable. So I was looking into the idea of building a course around helping people get more out of the books they read for development, because I feel like, man, if you could come up with a system, some type of methodology or method to reading any book someone recommends to you, that you come out and actually retain it a week, month later, and are applying it, that would help across the board anybody get to the next level. So I was just curious what your guys' thoughts were on that.
So immediately I'm thinking, I've gone through magazines, and there's these, like, it's Cliff Notes for CEOs, and it's they'll send you the boiled down points of the most important business books. So what's really key about that is there are so many books out there, you know, but they're targeting people that have money and that see staying on top of things coming out of Harvard Business Press or MIT or INSEAD over in France. You know, it's important for them to be up on that. And they realize probably what's important is jargon as well. So somewhat like blue ocean strategy. Well, if you're in business and you know, it's been a word that's been a buzzword for about 10 years, But if you aren't in the business MBA world, that's, you know, you don't need to know that. But if you're in that world and you don't know that, you can come off as, you know, not being, well, obviously he's not reading, you know, and up on the latest stuff. So I would say, you know, being very targeted of who you're going to go after and what are their pain points, what are they willing to pay for? And, you know, is that because you can try to do a great job, but if there's no paying market at the end, it, you can create something that's a great product, but is there going to be enough user base that if it's free, you would be able to, you know, make money off advertising. And if it's not free, you're going to have that user base that's willing to pay for it.
Okay.
How, an exercise of what you can do next. So after we get off this call, what Antonio said, take that and figure out what your keywords were. If I understand you right, it's going to be like reading comprehension, retention, mental retention, knowledge retention, understanding or whatever. Use those keywords. And as you know, we said before, go on to Amazon and see who's doing that. So go to Amazon, type in their little search bar in the books, those keywords, you know, one by one, or Google it and see who's talking about what, what's going on with what, and you're going to find those problems. As you're reading the reviews and the comments, of course, they have the 5 stars and the 1 stars, and go ahead and look at all of them.
Yeah.
Pick like maybe the top 3 comments and of each star or each rating, and see what they're saying, see what they liked about it and what they didn't like about it. And then collect all the things that they liked about it, do that, and avoid all the things that they didn't like about it, you know?
Yeah.
And I think that's going to give you an idea. And if you can't quantify, if you can't, maybe in a month, or you look at it and you see, I can't be getting paid in a month, is it really that important right now? Because the most important thing is probably to make that first dollar. Once you make that first dollar, it validates so much. It's not a lot of money, but dollar one validates so much. So am I going to make money from this right away? Is this a legit business that people are going to pay for? And if you can't answer that clearly and have this defined, then it's a great idea and it's a labor of love. And maybe you can just do a blog or, you know, do it for free, but that's not a real, you know, that's not a business. You're there to put food on the table. Hugs and kisses don't put food on the table.
Yeah.
Well, good deal. Well guys, Joe, thank you very much for leading the presentation tonight.
Absolutely. Thank you. I had fun.
Yeah. You did an excellent job. I mean, here's a round of applause.
Yay.
Well done, man.
No, you did a great job. And I think what's key, gentlemen, is, you know, I mean, Joe, to be honest, I mean, your content was solid. I learned quite a bit. I really like the, you know, how you broke them into the 3 different categories, how people are actually, you do have the skimmers. You have some people that just, they're just not going to watch the video, and that's why you've got to have it in various formats. One thing I haven't seen is a podcast sales page, you know, having a, hey, just download the 5-minute pitch fest, you know, basically what it is. But no, it was solid info. I recorded it, gentlemen. If you've got questions about sales pages, reach out to Joe, especially, you know, I mean, here's a guy that is Joe, and this is great for you, Joe, because as you've become a teacher. What did becoming a teacher force you to do?
Get smart real quick. We do that in the military all the time. You know, when you were on there, at least on the Air Force side, I might have never, I mean, I have built missiles before, but at some point in my life, I had to build a missile or test a missile for the first time, you know, being an explosives guy. But I was an NCO when I worked with missiles. And as an NCO, I'm automatically a leader, and people are automatically looking at me saying, go ahead, Sarge, what do we do? And I'm like, well, let's find out. But you don't tell them that you don't know. You talk really fast. You talk loud. And you do things that make sense.
I don't know, and you're dealing with missiles?
Yeah.
Yeah.
What's the problem? And you just read the book, but you have to make yourself smart real quick. So if they're saying, you need to go take these 5 guys and go put some missiles together or some bombs together, you're grabbing the book and you're like, all right, what's important? Let's go. And it actually, it helps you, you know, with that whole time expansion thing. It helps you to hit at the highlight points, big things, safety, or, you know, whatever the key things are, and do those. And you rely on people around you because people, naturally, they want to help you and they want to see you succeed. So my subordinates, I mean, a lot of them are smarter than me in this. So I would go ahead, you show me what you're doing and I'll tell you if you're wrong, you know, sort of a thing. And let them do it for you. They want to. And you say, awesome job, man. Hey, why don't you go home after lunch. Thanks, dude. You know, do those things. But yeah, you got to make yourself smart real quick. And that's what this did was I had to get smart real quick. And so, you know, I just relied on my training that I had in the military and fell back and did the best I could in the time allotted. It was like 2 days or something. We decided we were going to do this.
Hey, awesome. Guys, I'm going to have to come back and watch this again because I got in late, but just a real quick question for you. You had mentioned, like, I wake up to solve problems and risk lives and protect. For this whole podcast with dealing with PTSD, just tell me if this sounds anywhere near what people are looking for. I wake up to restore hope, frame a future, and provide the energy to get there, or provide the information to get there. Is that kind of in the wheelhouse of what you're thinking with that particular tagline?
Yeah, absolutely. But you don't have to worry about curtailing it to the PTSD or your niche. This is about you. This is what it is every day for you. So if it is, I wake up every morning to, in general what it is, because it's going to tie back in there. And there's a whole process to finding out what those are. And real quick, because I know we got to go, part of that process is not just asking yourself what it is that makes you excited and that you love to do. It's going to those people that know you the best, your parents, your brother, your sister, your wife, or your significant other. And your chosen, really good friends, people that you respect, your colleagues or whoever, maybe not your colleagues, because they don't really know you that well. But and ask them, what do you rely on me the most for? What is it you can count on me for? What are you looking at me for as a powerhouse? And then when they come back with that feedback, if you can get 10 people to answer that, you ask 30, you'll probably get 10 responses. With that, they're actually going to tell you what those words are that other people rely on you for. And any of those words or any of those things that they say that give you the warm fuzzies, that's probably what it is.
Gotcha.
So, there's a whole process to it. And we can actually, I can throw that up on the Facebook page too if you want, the process that I use to find that out. Yeah, absolutely.
All right, gents, I got a jet, but thank you so much.
Yeah. Thank you.
All right, guys. Good meeting, Joe. Great job, and good having everyone. And feel free to send emails for sales pages to Joe, or you can just email me, and that's it, guys. Take care.